एव गोधनम लक्ष्म्या निकेतम सित गोवृषम चारयन अनुगान गोपान रणद्वेणुर अरिरमत अरिरमत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रभाषा प्रभुपाद। While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulences and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. Kaumaram darshayamschetstam prekshaniyam vrajakasam रुदन इवह सन्मुग्ध बालो सिंहावलोकनम। When the Lord displayed his activities just suitable for childhood, he was visible only to the residents of Vrindavan. Sometimes he would cry and sometimes laugh, just like a child, and while so doing he would appear like a lion cub. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If anyone wants to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord, then he has to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Braj, like Nanda, Upananda and other parental inhabitants. A child may insist on having something and cry like anything to get it, disturbing the whole neighborhood. And then immediately after achieving the desired thing, he laughs. Such crying and laughing is enjoyable to the parents and elderly members of the family. So the Lord would simultaneously cry and laugh in this way and merge his devotee parents in the humor of transcendental pleasure. These incidents are enjoyable only by the residents of Braj, like Nanda Maharaj, and not by the impersonalist worshippers of Brahman or Paramatma. Sometimes, when attacked in the forest by demons, Krishna would appear struck with wonder. But he looked on them like the cub of a lion and killed them. His childhood companions would also be struck with wonder. And when they came back home, they would narrate the story to their parents. And everyone would appreciate the qualities of their Krishna. Child Krishna did not belong only to his parents, Nanda and Yashoda. He was the son of all the elderly inhabitants of Vrindavan and the friend of all contemporary boys and girls. Everyone loved Krishna. He was the life and soul of everyone, including the animals, the cows and the calves. ओम अज्ञानत मिरंदस्य ज्ञानंज हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी विल डिस्कस द स्टोरी ऑफ वत्सासुर एंड श्रील भक्तिविनोद ठाकुर एक्सप्लेन्स। Vatsasura denotes the childhood naughtiness, which is called as bala dosh. When the Brijbasis, when they saw that the Krit Yamalarjuna trees were crushed by Krishna, of course the elderly Brijbasis did not see this, but all the covered boys, they came and informed the event which occurred. But they were not able to believe, but they thought that this had been caused by some kind of evil force. So after that incident, all the Brijbasis headed by Upananda, who was considered as most experienced person, they had a meeting. In that meeting they started discussing that even though we see that Krishna's birth is very auspicious because it has been predicted by Garga Muni that he is an expansion of the Lord, but why still there is so many inauspicious activities going on. And they started discussing, many demons came to Vrindavan. Krishna was almost less than 1 month old, Putana came and she caused such a havoc in Vrindavan. And then when Krishna was 3 months old, then first time he came out of his home, crawling out of the home, and to celebrate that event, Yashoda was performing a festival. Then again another demon came, Shakatasura. Again by good fortune, because of our pious activities, Krishna was saved. Then when Krishna was 1 year old, this Trinavarta demon came and he created such an havoc in Vrindavan. He appeared in the form of a whirlwind demon. And again by our good fortune and Krishna's good fortune, our pious activities, Krishna survived. And now this fresh event of Yamalarjuna tree makes it very clear that this Brahadvan is not suitable place to reside for all the Brajbasis. So we have to make a plan to leave this place and go towards Vrindavan, which is most beautiful forest surrounded by the Govardhan Parvat. Yamuna river is flowing. So when Upananda suggested this, he suggested to the Brajbasis, everyone was very happy to accept. And Nanda Maharaj spoke, he said, even though I am very attached to Brahadvan, by seeing all of your desire, I don't mind leaving this place. So when they heard the decision of Nanda Maharaj that he is willing to sacrifice his own liking for the others, everyone chanted Jaya Jaya. And immediately they started to prepare to proceed towards Vrindavan. And in Harivamsa it is explained that at the same time when Yamalarjuna trees fell, just before or after that event, hundreds and thousands of jackals attacked Vrindavan from all directions, Brahadvan. And they were not small jackals as you normally see, they were very huge and big, very ferocious. When all the jackals attacked from all the sides of Brahadvan, everyone became very scared. And Sripad Madhvacharya explains in his commentary, that was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that every jackal had a srivat on the chest. So it was non-different from Krishna. But the Brijbasis, because they could not understand under the yoga maya potency, so they became very scared apparently. So therefore that confirmed that we have to give up Brahadvan and come to Vrindavan. So when they started to come to Vrindavan, all the carts, all the bulls, all the cows were nicely decorated and they were chanting, and all the lines of the cows and calves and bulls appeared like waves of river. And Kavi Karanapur explains, when they were walking on the bank of Yamuna river, it appeared that Mother Ganga had come to meet Yamuna in Vrindavan and to have a nice talk. And ultimately when they reached the place which is now called as Chatikar, that is like half moon shape. So all the Brajbasis, they shaped themselves, covering one side it was a forest and other side was they covered to protect all the innocent children, women and elderly people. They created a defensive border and it extended up to Kaliya Dhaha to Govardhan Hill. And quite surprisingly, when all the Brajbasis came to Vrindavan, it was not that they had to make houses, shops and ghats. By the inconceivable potency of Lord Krishna, it is explained by the Acharyas, Sometime there was no other choice for Krishna. Even though he was a baby, he would exhibit his complete opulence in the form of exhibiting his mystic potency. So when all the Vrajavasis came to Vrindavan, everyone, as if they were there before, everyone knew which was their house. They just entered into their respective residential quarters. And all the shopkeepers, the betel nut sellers, the grain sellers, everybody took their own shops. And everything was there, all the goods were there in the shops. And all the cowsheds were there. So everybody, all the Brijbasis, they went to their respective cowsheds along with their cows and calves. This is how very quickly they settled in Vrindavan. It was not a big deal. And after settling in Vrindavan, everyone liked the forest of Vrindavan. And then Krishna decided to perform a different kind of pastime. It is explained that at that time, Krishna was just 3 years old. It's quite amazing to see that even though Krishna was 3 years old, he told his parents, "Now I am quite sufficiently grown up, and I want to take up my father's business." What is that? Being the Vaishya community, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to the story of Govardhan Leela, that it is quite natural for the Vaishyas. Vaishyas have 4 kinds of business: Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam. They involve in cattle raising, cow protection, banking, farming and business. But the Brijbasis were specially interested in taking care of the cows. So naturally for Krishna, you know, our Gopinath Prabhu was saying, now there is a different specialized management course in family business. You get an MBA in doing family business. But Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his, he speaks in one of his lectures, he said, we see in these big Marwadi families that they don't send their children to big educational institution. They bring their child from early childhood, and within no time he learns all the art of business, because already it's there in the blood. And somebody who is not having that background, he may have a big knowledge, a theory, but he can never make any money. So therefore, Krishna as a Vaishya, or acting as Vaishya, he told his decision to his father, "My dear father, now I am sufficiently grown up, so let me perform my family duty." And Nanda Maharaj was happy to see that Krishna is willing to go. So he told this decision to Mother Yashoda, that Yashoda Rani, that Krishna wants to tend the cows. And Yashoda immediately became upset. She started scolding her husband and said, "How can you send our son? He is just 3 years old. Still he is breastfed. How can we send him to the forest? Your decision is very cruel. I cannot accept it." And suddenly Krishna appeared there, and again by his mystic charm, within no time he convinced his mother. So immediately Mother Yashoda agreed, and Nanda Maharaj was stunned that now she was so reluctant, she was cursing me, but now she is agreed to the proposal of Krishna. So immediately Nanda Maharaj went to his cowshed, which was very large, much bigger than the big stadiums, because Nanda Maharaj had 9 lakh cows. Bulls were separate. And Rupa Goswami explains he also had buffaloes. And then when Nanda Maharaj went inside, he picked up some very special calves and gave it to Krishna. And along with that, he gave a red stick in his hand. And when Krishna decided to go to Vrindavan, it was quite natural that Krishna was always surrounded by his coward boyfriends. So they went to their respective parents, they got their calves, and they had the red stick, and there was a big group. And when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda saw that, they told Krishna that do not go to the forest, you just go to a pasturing ground which is very close to our residential quarters. And Yashoda was insisting that Krishna, I will come along with you. When you are tending the cows, I also want to be there to see that your protection is assured. Again Krishna said, no, I do not want, you don't want to be with me. I want to go with my covered friends and enjoy the tending the calves. Again he convinced his mother, and then he came to Vrindavan forest. They went into the deep forest. Some acharya says that Krishna actually started tending the cows on the order of Nanda Maharaj, very close to his residential quarters, so that Nanda Maharaj can have a watchful eye on Krishna's activities. But Krishna went inside and he was tending the cows. It was a regular feature. Sometimes they would go on to the bank of Jamuna. Sometimes they would go into the deep forest where there would be very succulent grass. And Krishna would blow his flute and all the children would play very nicely. And the cows being tended, it is explained that sometimes Krishna, because he is very naughty, they would throw stones at the fruit trees. And sometimes Krishna, all the children would play these games. And Prabhupada says, in this way Krishna played so many games, uncountable games. One game was, they would throw stones in the sky. One boy had to throw the stone, and another boy, when that stone is still in the sky, he has to take another stone and hit that stone. Baldev, you can try it. Where is Baldev? Rather than throwing at this stump, you can try Krishna's game. And then second game they play was that many covered boys would be covered, blindfolded. And then the child, another covered boy, had to go and touch with his palm on the face of a covered boy whose eyes are blindfolded. And simply by that touch he has to recognize, oh, this is Sri Rama, oh, this is Toka Krishna. And some other time, they would take the stone and throw in the sky. And because Krishna would throw those stones, it would go so high, all the damsels in the heavenly planets would be scared. And sometimes they would throw stones horizontally, as if to make earrings to the directions. In this way, Lord Krishna was playing so many games. And then, every day would come back, and Yashoda, because Krishna was very young, 3 years old, she would, before sending her son, she would feed him nice breakfast. It was like a brunch, unlimited items. And after Krishna eating that, he would go to the forest. And again in the afternoon, she would send some more prasadam along with her servants, so that Krishna should not feel hungry. And then again when he would come back to home, immediately she would dress him nicely. They would come early afternoon. And she would dress him nicely, bathe him, massage him. And next morning again, before Krishna would go to the forest of Vrindavan, she would bathe him, massage him very nicely, decorate him very nicely, and then again give him the 6 stick and send him back to the forest of Vrindavan. In this way Krishna performed this Gocharan Leela. And one day, as usual, when all the covered boys were on the bank of Jamuna, Shukadeva Goswami explains, sometimes kadachit Yamuna tire vatsam charayato svakai vayasai Krishna valyor jigamsur daitya agamat. One day on the bank of Jamuna, when Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram and other cowherd boys, when they were tending the cows, there appeared one daitya, a demon. And again, this demon was also the friend of Kamsa. In fact, it is explained by Garga Samhita that Kamsa was a very ambitious demon. Demons are always ambitious. They want to conquer not only earthly planets, then the heavenly planets, then the higher planetary systems. They also want to conquer Brahmaloka. If there is a facility, they would also want to conquer the Vaikuntha planets also. That is the demonic mentality. So this demon Kamsa, what he did was, these great demons, all these big demons, were independent rulers. Trinavarta, Bakasur, Aghasur, Vatsasur, Narakasur. Then Krishna, seeing that they are unconquerable, Kamsa seeing them unconquerable, he would go and challenge them. And he would say, he would not kill them because he wanted their assistance. He would challenge them for the battle. And he would say, if I fight you and defeat you, you should become my slave and do whatever I say. And if you defeat me, I will do whatever you say. And Kamsa was a very powerful demon, and he would defeat everyone. In fact, he also defeated Narakasur. And with Jarasan, seeing that he is too powerful, he made friendship. So when Vatsasur was defeated by Kamsa, then he became ally with Kamsa. And Garga Samhita explains that this Vatsasur was a demon named Mura. And again, he had also conquered the demigods. It is not that demigods are always safe. Even in the heavenly planet, Srila Prabhupada writes, when Krishna was swallowed by this Agasura demon, when Agasura swallowed Krishna, all the demigods were a little fearful. So Prabhupada writes, just see, even though they are in the heavenly planets, but there is always fear of losing the heavenly planets. Even though they have become immortal by drinking this immortal elixir, Amrita, still they are not freed from the fear. The fear principle is all pervading, including the heavenly planets. But in contrast to them, the coward boys, even though when they saw the Aghasur demon, they were making many kind of, you know, thinking, oh, is it a demon or is it kind of a statue? But anyway, even if it is a demon, who cares? They were not fearful. Even though they were apparently ordinary coward boys, there was no fear. Why? Because there was complete confidence in Krishna. Therefore, without any hesitation, they entered into the mouth of Aghasur. That is the difference between devotees and the demigods. When the demigods are cursed, immediately they come down and beg forgiveness. But the devotees, they don't make any mistakes. Even if they are cursed, just like in the story of Chitraketu. When Chitraketu Maharaj was flying as the associate of Lord Shankarshan, and it's a very strange phenomenon that Lord Shiva was having Parvati sit on his lap, and he was discussing about renunciation. That was very quite strange. And all the sages were listening to Lord Shiva. And Chitraketu was flying. And Chitraketu Maharaj, it was semi-sarcastic. And it was a very wonderful sight for him to see. He was thinking nobody can do it. Therefore he made a comment, as if it was an offense. Lord Shiva understood it was not an offense, it was a remark, a friendly remark. The sages also realized that it is not an offense. Therefore, neither Lord Shiva became angry, nor the sages became upset with Chitraketu Maharaj. But Shivji's wife, Parvati, because she is wife, she cannot stand, wife cannot stand, they should not stand the offenses against the husband. So naturally she reacted. And out of that reaction she cursed Chitraketu, that you are being devotee of Lord Vishnu, But still you're so arrogant. I curse you that you become a Brahma Rakshas. It was too much. You know, the offense was not there, but still the curse was very big. So Chitraketu Maharaj came down not to beg forgiveness so that he will lose his position. He said, my dear Parvati, he said, realize that you are not direct cause. You are simply an instrumental. It was ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and accept your curse. I have no problem. He didn't beg. He didn't say that you change this curse. I still want to enjoy. And he went back. And seeing this, Lord Shiva was wonderstruck. He told Parvati, just see. You think you are beautiful, but just see the beauty of my devotee, my friend, Vishnu's devotee. And he was joking with Mother Parvati. So we see that Mora demon, even though he was a demon, it was a regular feature that sometimes the demons would conquer the demigods, and demigods would conquer the demons, and when the demons would be too much, then they would approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to ask his assistance to destroy the demons. So this Mora demon had conquered the demigod, and one time he happened to come to one forest where Vasishtha Muni was performing tapasya. And he came to Vasishtha, and he saw that Vasishtha had a very special cow, which was called as Homadenu. And this Homadenu cow would provide all kinds of ingredients for the yajna of Vasishtha Muni. And immediately Mura demon changed himself into a Brahman. Now when a Brahmana comes, he can ask for charity, even from other sage. So Mura demon appeared in the form of a Brahmana, and he said, my dear Vasishtha Muni, I want your cow as a charity. And Vasishtha realized that he's a demon, but still he kept quiet. But Vasishtha's cow, Homadenu, could not stand this. And she said, you fool, you are trying to cheat, but you cannot cheat my master. You are a demon, but you have disguised yourself as a Brahman. Therefore, I curse you that you become a calf and suffer for many thousands of years. And immediately Mura demon fell down at the feet of the calf, of the Homadenu. And then Homadenu again, she said, okay, because you have begged forgiveness, I bless you that when you disguise yourself as one of the calf, along with Krishna's calves, then by the touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll be killed. So even though it was a curse, it turned out to be a great benediction. So when this demon appeared, Sukadeva Goswami explains, Tam vatsa rupinam viksha vatsa yuta gatam hari darshayam baladevaya shanir mukta ivasadat. When Krishna saw that another calf is coming, which is not from their group, again it is a very great science. If you go into the cow shed, all cows, all calves, all bulls look similar. But the coward boy, he knows. It is not that there is a mark. He exactly knows what is the name of each cow. It's a very amazing science. When we go to our farm, we have one young boy, Kailash is his name, he's the coward boy. He knows so nicely all the cows, all the calves, all the bulls. He calls them by their name. He doesn't have to, even from any distance. But for a normal person to go and see, it's a big difference. He cannot make any discrimination. Everything looks similar. So immediately Krishna recognized that this is not our calf. It is outside. And Krishna looked at Baladev and he said, this is a demon. And then Mukdaiva, as if Krishna not noticed the arrival of this calf demon, he kept quiet. And then immediately Krishna, without delay, this story is concluded by Sukadeva Goswami very fast, of killing Vatsasura demon. But it has great purport into it. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur give very beautiful commentary on this chapter. So Krishna immediately captured the hind leg of this calf without delay, and then saw Langulam Achyutam. Shila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why Achyuta word is used. Because Krishna never fails in any attempt. When we take some task, there is always fear. Will I be successful? Or there is a failure. But with Krishna, he is called Achyut because there is no failure in any of his endeavor. He grabbed the cap, Prabhupada said, he wheeled around and he threw like a, what is that? They have game? Not javelin, what is that? Discus throw. You know, with a rope they throw it. So similarly, Krishna threw that cap right into Kapitta tree. And Srila Prabhupada explains Kapitta tree is bale fruit. And because just moving that cap so fast, before landing onto the tree only, that calf was dead. Just because of the moving so fast, very easily Krishna killed. And all the fruits fell down, and all the coward boys took those fruits and broke it. And Prabhupada explains this Kapitta fruit is very sweet and sour mixture. And you take out the pulp and you lick it. It is so nice. And when Krishna did that, he killed the calf, everyone became very happy. And Srila Prabhupada explains, killing of the demons did not disturb Krishna's regular activities. It was a normal business. You kill some demon and your appetite would increase and they would have nice lunch and they would go back to their respective home. So when Krishna came back to his home, it is explained immediately all the coward women, they wanted to pick up their children, but they said, no, we don't want. And they started discussing the pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saying that how Krishna killed his demon. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this demon represents Bala Dosha. Bala Dosha means juvenile criminal activities. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we recommended every parent and every child should read this very beautiful article of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It appeared in a Harmonist magazine. It is explained that when we see the child psychology, that when the children are pampered, it is quite natural. Nobody hates their children. Sometimes people say, they hate their children. No, it is not possible. Everyone loves their children. But unfortunately, because most parents, those who don't know the Vedic psychology, their love is exhibited in a way which is not appreciated by the children. Or they may love or pamper their children and cause destructions of the eternal spiritual growth of the child. Just like we hear regularly now. Especially from the very aristocratic family in Bombay, the child allows his friend to call his father, saying that send me 25 lakh rupees, send me 5 lakh rupees. Why this is happening? Because it is explained when the child is given love in a different way, sometimes it is seen that people think that by giving toys they are loving their children. Because the parents, unfortunately, they don't have time to spend time with their children. They think, substitute to that is give toys. That is also a way of loving. So when the child always handles something which is non-spirit, which is material, dead matter, how does he handle? Whenever I go to some people's house, I try to observe how many toys they have. And see the reaction of the child, how he behaves. It's a very amazing experience. It is my own experience, so maybe wrong also. But you see, because most of the time the child is playing always with the toys, and because the toy is dead matter, It does not reciprocate. If there is a toy of some kind of, you know, human form, or if there is a toy in the form of gun or a bat or a ball, usually the child throws it. He has a destructive mentality. He develops that destructive mentality. Why? Because there is no reciprocation from that toy. And because of that, eventually it becomes desensitive. And that desensitiveness is extended towards even the living people. As he kicks the toy, he also kicks his mother. He also kicks his father. Therefore, it is explained that from early childhood, those who extend themselves to the child, not extend themselves through some other object. Because the child is always reciprocating with a living person, then his behavior is completely different. He acts in a completely different way. Somebody told a story, it's a nice story. One time one young child came to his father and he said, "Daddy, how much money every day you make?" And the father was a nice guy, he was a nice person, and he would always give him some pocket money. He said, "My dear son, why do you want that?" It is said that you should not ask salary of a father, salary of a man, age of a woman, and the village of a sadhu. These are not considered as the right etiquette, because they will not tell that. So the father was not, he was reluctant to tell his salary, but seeing his son's, you know, eagerness, he said, "Okay, my dear son, I earn every day 5,000 rupees. And then child walked out inside his room, and he came up back after 5 minutes. He said, "Father, can you lend me..." Sorry, the child asked him, "How much money do you make every hour?" The father said, "I make 5,000 rupees every hour." So child went inside. He came back to father. He said, "Can you give me 3,000 rupees? So father was shocked. Son is asking 3,000 rupees. What will you do with this money? But because father was very nice, he gave 3,000 rupees to his son. Son went back inside. He came back to his father. He gave 5,000 rupees. He said, "Papa, take this 5,000 rupees and give me 1 hour of yours. I want to talk to you." Very beautiful story. And then father realized that I don't spend quality time with my son. So therefore it is explained that when you give children a dead object, he'll never be satisfied. Therefore he'll break it and want something else, want something else, want something else. It is unending. One of our devotees approached one psychologist about his own son's naughtiness. And the doctor told him, "You know, let the child cry as much as he wants to cry, but don't provide him what he wants." This is a solution because there was already a problem. If the problem was handled from very beginning in a different way, this could have not been the problem. So therefore we see that because of this, it is natural that the children become distant from their parents, especially from the father. And because of that they can't relate. The wavelength doesn't match. So therefore Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very beautifully explains, I recommend everyone to read this article. Sometimes we see that there are some parents that are very nice, they treat them, they give them nice time, but it is all material, there is no spiritual in it. They pamper their children very much, they give whatever they want, they give themselves to them also, but there is no spiritual substance. So therefore, that love only remains on the mundane platform. So I'll read certain statement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and we'll try to discuss more. There's one saying, it is explained that I see the mind of a child, of course this is not Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I see the mind of a child as a volcano with two vents. What are these two vents? One is destructiveness and another is creativeness. And one philosopher said, "Before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children, but no theories. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, parents try to keep innocency without killing joy. Very beautiful. But it seems it's impossible to attain double purpose. That you want to maintain the innocency of the child, that juvenile naughtiness, but at the same time you want to maintain in pure. These are the two things. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says it is most difficult task. Therefore he says, Vasasur cannot be killed by us. A demon Vasasur represents Bala Dosha, and we have no strength to kill that. So to try to reconcile these two factors, to maintain the, you know, the joyness, the innocency, the childish prank, and at the same time maintain the child's purity, it cannot be possible. And on the other hand, there are some parents, they are very strict, very disciplined. You know, they have borders. Within this border only your activities will be performed. Beyond that, you cannot go. So fear principle, when there is a principle of fear, and through fear when you discipline, that works. For how long? When the child reaches its teen. Once he realizes that this is the place where I can release myself, and that same discipline which was done through fear becomes so rebellious by the child, you know, he hates his parents. One devotee met one Christian parents, very disciplined parents. They attended Bhagavad Gita course. And the parents had one desire, that they wanted their son to become a swimming champion. And he won sub-junior national champions. But because it was parents' desire, and as long as he was under their control, he was doing it. But regularly swimming became a boring act for him. So then when he started expressing his boringness to the parents, that I don't want to get involved, they would force him. And he took that force for 4 years. When he became 16 or 17 years old, when he became independent, the father was saying to this devotee, he said, he became so rebellious and so cruel to them, he would take the father's car, new car, fresh car. They are quite rich people. And right within the compound of their building, he would take the car and bring it close to the wall and drive touching the wall, crash the car to the wall, few times back and forth, and destroy the car. And he was the only son. And father could not do anything to him. He tried to tell him, you should not do like that. There was no facility for communication. And just to avoid his son, his father sent him to America. Even though he was not qualified, he had no scholarship, he sent him to America so that he can study there. And the son would demand money every month. Send me this much of money. And father could not stop. Why? Because, you know, if you tell him that why you want, there will be a reaction. One day, the father came to America. He was in America. He came to his son. Son picked him up. He took him to his room. The father felt, you know, my son is treating me very nicely. And after taking him in his room, he said, Papa, I want to show you a nice movie. And he showed him a movie. And at the end of the movie, there was a scene which showed that the son is killing his father. He switched it off and he said, did you understand the purport? I want to do the same thing as this last scene depicts. So this person was so disturbed. He said, can you give me some solution? How can I handle it, this situation? He said, I've already sold 2 flats worth 40, 50 lakh rupees, and all of this money has been exhausted by my son. So rebellion can be caused when a discipline is put only on the principle of fear. Even with God, there was one big philosopher named Nagaji. He explains that, I hate this concept of God standing with a rod. He said, I need a dancing God, then I can worship Him. So unfortunately, in the Christian concept, there is only God of, you know, standing with the rod. If you do sinful activities, eternally you are condemned. Therefore, you should do nice activities so that you can eternally go to heavenly planet. So you could not take this concept. If this can happen with God, what to speak of other parents? So this is a very difficult job of raising the child. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this double standard cannot be applied. It is not possible. It is not within our control. And the next, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains. So therefore, when the child is very young, rather than allowing that child to play with all kinds of non-material activities, when the child is very young, then he listens to the parents. According to Chandika Pandita, it is up to 16 years old. And the child can act as a child when he is up to 16 years old. Once he becomes 16 years old, he knows too many things about the material world. Then you cannot make him as a son, you have to make him a friend. Only on the friendly level, you know, there are discussions. Then on a friendly level only you can convince him. Not on the level of father and son, it is not possible. And especially in Kali Yuga, it is not 16 year old, it is 10 years. They know too many things. One psychologist said what was known for an elderly person, 80 year old man, in the 17th century, in his full lifetime, what he would know in one lifetime, is known by one young boy within 1 week. That is the difference. What you would know when you, in the 17th century, for whole of your lifetime, up to the age of 80, that much information, all kinds of information is known to young child within 1 week. That means information gathering is so much, so therefore submission is not there, unfortunately. So only time when the child can be trained very nicely and he is very young, as Gopinath Prabhu was explaining yesterday, that begins from conceiving the child. Once the child is wrongly conceived, then the training part becomes little difficult. But when the child comes out of the mother's womb, then slowly, slowly, if the child is given that training. One time Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking to Arundhati Mataji. She was one of very, very dear disciples of Prabhupada. She was wife of Pradyumna Prabhu. Pradyumna Prabhu would edit Srila Prabhupada's books, and Arundhati Prabhu Mataji would take care of the deities of Srila Prabhupada. And then their first son, Aniruddha, Prabhupada called her. He said, look, now you have a son, and this son, to take care of this son is as important as taking care of the deities. Don't consider that to be material. You give him proper devotional education and you can minimize or compromise with your deity worship. What importance should be given at what time? Prabhupada would tell his disciples very nicely, and he said, spend most of your time. And unfortunately, many leaders in the beginning, you know, they had this saying, dump the child, hit the street. That was the philosophy. The children were not given much attention by the parents, thinking that, what is this mundane? You know, let us go and do devotional service, distribute books. And now, many parents face this problem. The children come back, the Gurukulis, the ex-Gurukulis, and they always taunt their parents. How much did you love me? You always loved Krishna. And now, because it's a very difficult situation, so therefore, from early childhood when he is given that facility, and how does it work? Srimad Bhagavatam explains the activities of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was such a great king. Blala Krida Nakai Kridan Krishna Kridam Ya Adade is explained by Suta Goswami to the Shaunakadi Rishis. That what was the qualification of Parikshit Maharaj to be a great devotee? That from early childhood, what was his krida? He would be given deities of the Lord, the toys of Krishna. and he would be told that you have to worship him nicely. And that was his pastime, playing with the, you know, nice deities of the Lord. And because it is a deity, even though it is a toy, it is a deity, naturally one respects. A child does not throw it. In this regard, I want to tell the story of Raghunath Prabhu, Anand Vrindavan Prabhu's son. Now his toys are, Raghunath, do you have toys? Hardly has any toys. But his toys are Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, Gaur Nithai, Prabhupada, and he wants to get Radha Krishna also. Maybe he will take Badrinath from here. So all the time he is worshipping, and one time his clay Prabhupada, you know, when he was doing chamber, it fell down and it broke. And because it broke, just see, many children, we see, they break so many toys, they are not concerned. They are not concerned, there is no feeling that I broke it. But when Srila Prabhupada broke, you know, the clay Prabhupada got a crack, he became so disturbed, he was slapping himself. He closed himself in a bathroom, and when his father came back, he said, he was fasting till afternoon. That is the difference between worshipping an ordinary, playing with an ordinary toy, and playing with the deity of Krishna, even though it is not installed. It makes your consciousness so sensitive, then naturally act accordingly. So he came to his father, he said, I've done like this, what should I do? He said, you chant Hare Krishna. He chanted Hare Krishna. Then he got a nice brass Prabhupada for him. And father does not know much about deity worship, but the son knows a lot. So his father said, okay, now you keep this and we will, you know, submerge it in the water. He said, no. First of all, you have to call the Prabhupada who is in the clay. Invoke him. He said, Prabhupada, now you come here. Who is giving that knowledge? Just because, and that is what Srila Prabhupada explains. He says, in the purport to this verse, Prabhupada explains, just like Parikshit Maharaj was doing, my parents were also, they gave me the deities of Radha Govind. I would perform this, and in this way there was a natural attraction for the deities. And similarly, our Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also did the same thing. And this is how the child has to be raised. And if it is not there, then there will be many problems, many difficulties will be there. And then eventually, even Peter Burwas, one of the great management consultant, who is also a follower of Srila Prabhupada, he chants 8 to 12 rounds. He has written a very beautiful book. In that, he is, again, all the children are requested to read that book, a very beautiful book. Of course, the children should not take it as, just see, whatever we are doing is right and parents are wrong. We conduct many seminars for children, but we don't get opportunity to speak to the parents. So this is the platform we are taking to speak to them, their concerns. So he explains that if the child is not trained from early childhood to work, to take some responsibilities, and when they grow up, it is very difficult for them to take up the responsibilities. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that sometimes people expect purity from their children. For what purpose? So that eventually they can gratify their senses. So that is also very demonic. Juvenile innocence is a necessity for both young and old. That is not the only thing for the children, but it is also required for the old. To be innocent, yesterday we discussed, it is very much required to serve Supreme Personality of Godhead. It cannot be acquired by artificial process. Ordinary person cannot retain it. After boyhood and youth, it is lost. And this is the real tragedy of human life. Innocence is desired on account of its enjoyability, but it should be properly desired only for the service of Krishna. Therefore, one has to be trained from the early childhood through a proper teacher. Encouraging naughtiness under the impression that it is the nature to be naughty So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, sometime one may say it is nature to be naughty. This is called as bala dosh. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, training is important for the soul, not for the juvenile body or the mind. You are not giving training to the body or the mind, but giving training to the soul. So therefore, just to avoid by this logic that because they are childish, they are naughty, therefore the training eventually they will be given. No. You are not giving training to the body and the mind, but giving training to the soul. So when that is given from the early childhood, even eventually by the power of Maya, the child drifts away. Anand Vrindavan was saying when he had a son, Raghunath, he came to Maharaj. And he said, Maharaj, you know, now we don't know what will happen with this child. 20 years headache for us. You know, taking care of him, raising him, what guarantee is there that he'll become a devotee? Rather than spending my energy in training this child, why not preach outside? At least some people will listen to me. That was his argument. And it looks very nice, and therefore some people try to follow this argument. So Maharaj told him, your responsibility is to give him as much as Krishna consciousness as possible when he's a young child. Wholesale Krishna consciousness. And then when he grows up, give him the liberty to decide what to do. And if he takes the wrong step, then that is between Krishna and you. You are not responsible. Krishna will be happy that you have done your duties. You have given him sufficient Krishna consciousness. But then it is up to Krishna and that child to decide. That is not your responsibility. So therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to avoid duties because it is difficult in the mode of passion. Sometimes people become brahmacharis because, you know, outside it is quite burdensome. Duties are quite heavy. One time Radhananda Maharaj asked one devotee who was about to join. He said, why are you joining the ashram? What is the reason? He said, if you are joining the ashram because outside it is too difficult, you have to handle people, you have to talk to people, you know, you have to tolerate different kinds of people. Just to avoid that if you are joining, he said, very difficult for you. You'll have to force more difficult people here. To stay all the time 24 hours in the same place with same kind of people with a different mentality, it's a very difficult task. He said, you'll have more difficulties here than outside, so decide now. Only if you have a higher purpose then you'll survive. So therefore Krishna explains avoiding responsibilities in particular ashram, thinking that it is difficult. It is not so pleasing to Krishna. But going through the process of all the responsibilities will give proper satisfaction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even while doing that, it may appear that, especially parents, are not giving so much of time of theirs to Krishna consciousness. But if the child is properly trained, given unlimited devotional consciousness, then that is one of their important duties. So ultimately Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur concludes, he says a sickly body is not really harmful to a person who has no higher object in view than undiluted sense gratification. So in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, when the child is given proper training under the guidance, given unlimited Krishna consciousness, then only this purpose can be attained. What is that? He maintains his innocency, he maintains his childish pranks, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, then you learn the art of picking up company of Krishna. And when you become part of Krishna's company, when you become Krishna's covered friend, then there you can perform unlimited naughty activities. They are spiritual. They are not material. They are not destructive. Rather, they are spiritual. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So I have no question answers now. because it's already late, we have to proceed towards Vasudhara. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.